Personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astry tackled the quarterback. He's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
It's Walter Payton's birthday, Dal.
It is?
Did you wish Walter Payton and his family a happy birthday?
I haven't,
today?
But he is my favorite running back, so I hope his family has a good day.
Yeah, I had to share a couple of his highlight films on social media to celebrate. Obviously, as a Bears fan, Walter Payton is the sports figure for people around that area, and that includes Michael Jordan. Jordan has the rest of the country as far as Chicago, but in the actual Chicagoland area, it's Walter Payton and then everybody else. For a long time there, we didn't have a statue outside of Soldier Field. And the reason was, as Ashton Kutcher once put it, he didn't need one. He's Walter Payton. We know who he is. We love him. Yeah, we put Jordan's statue in front of the United Center, but, you know, that's in case people forget about Jordan. They need to be reminded. No one in Chicago is going to forget about Walter.
I don't think you're going to forget about Jordan. He's about to get $3 billion richer.
Yes, he's about to sell off the Charlotte Hornets.
Or whatever percentage of that is his.
I do appreciate that there's already a contingent of Chicago fans pleading for him to purchase the Chicago Bulls. And I get it. Jerry Reinsdorf has been a terrible, terrible owner. We all love Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan's a terrible owner.
Michael Jordan did not exactly bring the Charlotte Hornets success.
Zero playoff series wins in 13 years.
So I think people are just getting desperate at this point.
We're already doing that. The Bulls are already doing that.
Yeah, why not?
Anyway, we are here for previews today in the NFL, and we're going to do our North divisions, correct?
Yeah, now last week it was a bit of an ordeal getting in between the jerseys, so maybe I'll just grab a jersey and put it on my lap or something. But
that's fine.
I brought in the whole host of NFC and AFC North deals, and you know what? We might as well start, since we're talking about Walter Payton's birthday, why not start with the Chicago Bears?
I got
the Payton jersey out here, Dal. I'll take a gander at that. You got to bring in the Payton on Payton's birthday. So before we even do the preview, I mentioned this to you just while we were, you know, hanging out about at the workplace yesterday. But today it was officially revealed, the top 100 players list voted every year. NFL Films puts it together. They give, I believe it's like 300 players and coaches across the league. No, just the players. Sorry, just the players. A ballot and tell them rank your top 20 players in the league. And then they make a big average and they produce the top 100 players in the NFL. Well, Justin Fields was named today as the number 86 player, according to the other players. Trevor Lawrence was ranked back at 96, and Twitter is having a bit of a tantrum about that.
Well,
and am I here to say that Justin Fields is better than Trevor Lawrence at this point in time? No. Do I think it is hilarious? Yes.
It's a stupid list. And here's another reason, since if you're going to I'll complain too. Terry McLaurin, who is one of the best wide receivers in the league, he finally makes this list, quote unquote. This is his fourth season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, really? What do you have to? It's based on position, popularity, and how big of a social presence you have. Terry McLaurin is a soft-spoken guy who can get 1,000 yards receiving from anyone, literally. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. it's annoying. And then it's just, all it does is fill this last month with a little bit of discussion as guys get into camp and things like that. I get it. But yeah, Justin Fields, we don't even know if he's going to be their quarterback next year, let alone one of the top 100 players.
I did appreciate, though, Dal, I thought it was very funny that every single player apart from one, and I'll get to that one, that was on the Justin Fields segment talking about him, these were obviously the players that voted for him, so they were there to discuss why they voted for him. Every one of them was a defensive lineman. Every single person that voted for Fields was a defensive lineman.
They can't catch him.
I guarantee you it's because they're like, well, he stole 2 sacks from me in that game, so I better hype him up and say that he's excellent, otherwise I'm going to look like an idiot.
I mean, he did rush for over 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean,
It was a prolific rushing season.
If he was a running back, he'd have been on the Zoom call complaining that he doesn't get paid enough this last week.
What's hilarious is we already talked about the NFC East, but Saquon Barkley did get an actual contract today, which increased. And I know it looks very similar to the franchise
tag.
Like
a biscuit more than his franchise offer.
But here was the things with it, as was pointed out. The first of all, he does increase by $1 million on his salary. Second of all, because it's a franchise tag, you can't include incentives on. He actually gets an extra $2.5 million in incentives on the one-year contract if he hits certain things. So I guess that's... The Giants basically said, in essence, all right, Saquon, you've made a point. You were very important to our team, but we're worried about your health. First of all, we can't give you a long-term deal because the deadline came and went. So we're limited to 1 year. So here it is. We're going to basically only guarantee you franchise tag money, but if you think that you can give us a full season and you're going to hit 1,000 yards again, you're going to hit 250 carries again, and you're going to give us, I believe it was 40 receptions again, then fine. It's an extra $3 million on top of it like you wanted.
Didn't they offer him $14 million a year?
That was a reporter who put that out there that Saquon Barkley has apparently taken to Twitter and steadfastly denied that that was true.
Because apparently 14 is the number.
Yes.
I mean, if he would have taken
it. If he hits all his incentives, which actually, to be fair, looking at the incentives, these aren't like rush for 3,000 yards or anything. These are literally, okay, stay healthy all year and we'll pay you
these
what
are
you want.
If you do your bare minimum of your job, you'll get this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's Saquon. We got to get back to task here, Aaron. We do not have time.
Yes.
The franchise tag's been a big deal, and Justin Fields, of course, had a historic rushing effort as a quarterback. Didn't even play all the snaps that he could have.
You want to know kind of what the Bears have done to poor Justin? Because we're the Chicago Bears. I still think that this kind of speaks to the offensive line a little bit. But did you know that last season he had more rushing yards than he did in his entire 4 years of college football combined?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And it's not like he just learned how to run just now. Like, that's the difference between getting to play at Ohio State behind their offensive line and then playing behind the Chicago Bears.
Well, you're also playing against professionals.
Well, also true.
It kind of reminds me of when Josh Allen was a rookie. He comes into the league and he ran for 700-800 yards. Mm-hmm. And people went, wow, we didn't know he could do that. All the Wyoming fans knew he could. but they go, wow, we didn't know he could do that. And he made some amazing runs. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, you're not going to be as good as a team if your quarterback is leading your team in rushing. Unfortunately for the Bills, they're still figuring that out.
Now, to be fair, though, that's a poor example to use if you're trying to say that the team's going to be bad, because obviously Buffalo's still
bad.
I don't think he leads them in rushing anymore. Which
he
is
didn't last year, but he did for like 3 years.
Usually in touchdowns, though.
But he did for like 2 or 3 years. And it's just, anyway, that's a whole other thing. You look at the Bears. Aaron, I think they had about as good of a 12-month period under their new GM as you could possibly have. He did what he wanted to do.
For a team that is awful.
Right.
Yes.
But they were going to be awful anyway.
I would say the Chiefs had the best 12-month period.
I'm saying from their situation.
Okay, yeah.
They loaded up. They got a lot of picks. They drafted well. They stole a good receiver from the Panthers in that move up. Basically a starter that they desperately needed. They are well situated for the future. If Justin Fields comes out and turns, if he's Jamarcus Russell, he's not. But if he turns into
if he's not up to expectations, they are in a position
then they
to
can easily move on. They can easily do that.
They have covered their bases.
They were even
saying.
And even though wins and losses, they obviously lost a lot of games. They were still, I'm stealing this from you, they were still competitive in most, if not all, of those losses.
Which, if your goal is to make the playoffs, that's a nothing.
It is, but
you don't care about losing competitively. If you are tanking like we were, though, The reason I was so giddy about being competitive in all those losses, it, I mean, first of all, there's the football reasons. Well, it means you can turn it around easier. You can turn a few of those into wins if you're still competitive next year. The other one is that if you're going to be bad, can you at least be watchable? So give me something to turn on.
To me, the biggest issues for the Bears moving forward is can they score and can they be consistent enough in their passing game to keep up with who else is in that division? And that's not asking a ton. I mean, let's be honest. The overall passing prowess of the NFC North got worse in the offseason because Aaron Rodgers
left. Because of one departure, yeah.
Well, but Aaron Rodgers left. Now, Jared Goff did have his best professional year last year.
And I will say...
But the Lions had... They've got guys suspended. No one's talking about this very much. The Lions had a lot of players suspended because of this gambling thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still anxious to see... Everybody's all in on the Lions bandwagon. And I probably would be too... Had that not happened, they've got some key guys that are not going to be available at the first of the season.
Now, to be fair, though, to Goff, and there's two arguments that can be made here, and we'll see which one turns out to be true. One is, well, that was his best career season. Do we think that's sustainable? Because I know a lot of people like to make that argument. Secondly, let's pretend it is. Let's say that's what Jared Goff is now. He's going to be a nice... He's going to be Kirk Cousins. He's going to be efficient, throw some touchdowns.
Which is the other one. Is the other quarterback in the division.
And honestly, I know it's fun to hate on him. I trust Kirk Cousins to come out once again. He's going to hang 25 to 35 points on us twice a year. He's going to throw for 3,500 to 4,500 yards. He's going to get his 30 touchdowns to... I don't know, 12
he's
interceptions.
He's kind of like Matt Ryan minus the MVP and Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah, he is. He's going to come out and he's going to... it's unsexy, and this is why people like to crap on guys like Goff and Carr and Cousins, even though it works. Because here's the thing. Their style is not physically impressive, but you know what they're very good at? Take snap, find open guy, throw to open guy.
And they're available. They don't miss a lot of time.
And I know that's not as fun as like the Mahomes who can weave it between double coverage on a line and go, oh, look at this highlight throw. But you know what? Take snap, find open guy, moves the football.
Especially when the open guy is Justin Jefferson.
That also helps. And the Lions, even without Williams, who didn't play a lot for them last year, that's the thing. They're going to miss Jameson Williams. Lions fans are all very sad. He didn't play much last year. He missed half of last season.
They're still going to be solid.
They're going to
I think right now they're getting a little too much hype because people think they're just going to step right in to where they finished last year. And that's not how sports works.
And here's the other part of it. How much do you buy into the fact that having a Lion logo on your helmet is a cursed thing? Maybe I should just take my Bears jersey and put it in.
Hold on. Now we haven't done a prediction yet.
Okay.
Or a bust, boom and bust with the Bears.
Yeah, so I'll grab the Lions jersey right after this. But so we're looking at the Bears, and here's the thing. As a Bears fan, I'm excited about this year. I'm excited to watch Justin Fields. I'm excited to see, and I'd even consider these lofty expectations, just to set where the bar is. I am not coming out here and saying, if the Bears don't win 10 or more games, then fire everybody. It's a busted season. Because honestly, the defense still sucks. Like, we have linebackers and defensive backs, and I actually really like our linebackers and defensive backs. They're very good units. In the modern NFL, though, you're going to want pressure on the... If you give guys like Kirk Cousins, like Jalen Hurts, like the AFC quarterbacks we're going to play throughout the year, 9 seconds to throw, it doesn't matter how good your coverage is, eventually someone is going to get open. So we're going to see what happens with, if they can generate any pass rush, any of that. I just think it's going to be fun to flirt with the play. Let's see if we can make the playoffs after a year last year, what was 3-14 or whatever it was. Let's try to win 9 games. Why not? I'll say this, though. I will consider it a successful step in the right direction. Let's say the Bears come out and they go 7-10.
You've got to be thrilled with that.
I will accept 7-10 if the correct players, and we've talked about one of them, all take massive. If Justin Fields comes out and has 3,000 yards passing and 30 touchdowns
and 600 yards rushing,
we can even forget that. Let's say he doesn't, Allen, and he tones back the rushing and focuses in. And it's like, oh, Justin Fields made huge strides as a passer.
If he throws 30 touchdowns, then he's going to be good.
Then 7-10 is fine. Like, all right, you know what? We have our quarterback, and he's young, and he just showed us that he can make improvements, yeah, and he got better. We'll focus on winning next year. 7-10 is acceptable. If we go 7-10, and it was because we did one of those things where there's always one team like this, we just didn't have any injuries, and we miracle a couple of wins, but Fields still is throwing for barely 2,000 yards. You know, our wide receiver group didn't take a great step. Our young play, then 7-10 is no longer fun, and we're going to have to get rid of some people.
Personally, I don't think the Bears are going to hit 7 wins. I think they're going to be more like 5. And I don't think Fields is going to throw for 3,000 yards, but I do think he's going to be improved. I don't think he's going to make that much of a jump, but that's just my
opinion. Does he repeat that's on my the opinion. Top 100?
That's
is he back on this list?
I don't even care about that. I don't care about the list.
Boomer Bust, Al, you've got fantasy options up on the board. How you feeling if your wide receiver 2 this year is DJ Moore? He's the second wide receiver on your fantasy team.
Are you saying would I draft him as my number two?
Yeah, like you're going into week one of fantasy, and I'm not talking real football. I'm talking fantasy football. And you have some other dude at wide receiver. Your second best wide receiver on your fantasy team is DJ Moore.
I'm feeling pretty bad.
You're going bust.
I'm going bust in that situation.
Under 1,000 yards?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I'm just saying I think as a number two wide receiver from my fantasy team, there's many, many better options.
All right. So we'll go, as I hinted, we're going to go ahead and throw that jersey off. I'm just going to turn, I'm not doing the blind one this time because we've already talked about him.
Yeah, you got the Lions. So we've already kind of,
Barry Sanders.
You know, Barry Sanders had one of the greatest college football performances of all time against the Wyoming Cowboys in the 1988 Holiday Bowl. In fact, I think he just scored again just now. Yeah, he absolutely obliterated my Pokes in that game.
Barry Sanders at Oklahoma State was a bit of a, you know.
At least he turned out to be Barry Sanders.
Yes.
That's all you can say. At least it wasn't like some no-name, you know, thrashed us for 300 yards in the bowl game. No, it was Barry Sanders. So at least there's that.
Yeah. Obviously, and may I just point out, though, it is Walter Payton's birthday. So before we go into the Detroit Lions thing, can I just say Barry Sanders, top 3 running back of all time? No, he's not number one.
My brother, who's a Bears fan, insists Barry Sanders retired on purpose so that he would not break Walter Payton's rushing record.
I'm not sure that I buy into that one entirely.
I don't know that I do either, but you know what? The numbers work for him because he did retire and he did still have a lot of tread left on the tires when he did. So anyway, it's just kind of interesting.
I will at least say I do think Barry Sanders is the best pure runner. Here's the football and run in the open space that has ever played.
Oh, open space. The guy is a freaking
however
nightmare.
I would like to point out that much like I like to point out that tight end isn't wide receiver, like there's other aspects of it. Barry Sanders could not catch the football. He had to be taken out of the game at the goal line. And if you asked him to block a blitzing linebacker,
I'm not sure how good he was at blocking. But
he would be dead.
He wasn't very big from the waist up. His legs were about as big around as
this
Delaware.
This is why on my personal list, I still go Peyton 1, Jim Brown 2, because they could do all of the things that
even though I
back
hate Dallas,
to do.
The disrespect Emmitt Smith gets on a daily basis.
I put him at 4.
Is insane.
He's 4.
I'm not even disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, as a general rule, the guy who has the all-time record that may never be broken, by the way, doesn't ever get mentioned in the top anybody's top 3 unless they're a Dallas fan.
Have you ever heard Emmitt Smith give who he thinks is the greatest running back of all time?
I think he says it's Walter Payton, doesn't he?
He sure does.
I'm just saying Emmitt Smith does not get nearly as much credit as you would think he would.
That is, I do find that funny. And he and Jerry Rice kind of fall into that weird category of, we think of them as their stats, and we kind of forget that, well, yes, they have these huge stat numbers.
I think the young people have forgotten how good Jerry Rice was.
We, Like, if you look up their highlights, it wasn't actually like Emmitt Smith purely just got the football and then he was 10 yards downfield, because people talk about his offensive line all the time. He was really good at breaking tackles and being a dominant power runner.
He was incredibly durable. The one season where he ran the whole year with a separated shoulder, I just separated mine 6 weeks ago, and I can't imagine getting it pounded on by professionals for 4 months.
I just saw... this is all the proof I need that people kind of forget how dominant Hall of Famers used to be, in that I heard someone compare Saquon Barkley to, you know, he reminds me so much. And this was a dude on New York radio. Like, they were talking about Walter Payton's birthday. Saquon Barkley reminds me so much of how Walter Payton used to run. I said, I considering how many people really hate on Barkley for his injury history, I am a Barkley defender. Look up the best runs of Saquon Barkley's career. None of them touch what Walter Payton used to do on an average second down.
But yeah, we could talk running backs a whole episode. Back to the Lions, of course, Barry Sanders, their all-time greatest. The Lions, ton of momentum ending last year. If one more thing had gone right, they'd have been to the playoffs.
And can I also say that I know the Vikings scraped by a couple of their wins last year. They were very much beneficiaries of the one-score win, all leaning in their favor. And I know a lot of people think it's like when baseball fans talk about batting average and balls in play, and they're like, well, you can't repeat that. That's luck. You know, that dude hit like 418 on balls in play. He's not going to do that again next year. People are going to, you know, catch some of those. People talk about the Vikings record in one-score games. They were something ridiculous, like 10-1 in one-score games last year.
Yeah, they were.
And they say, well, you can't repeat that. But here's the thing. The fact that people are talking about the Detroit Lions being the favorites, and one of the reasons is, well, it's a weak division. Are we forgetting that the Vikings did still win 12 games or 13 games last year?
But to be fair, it was a pretty weak 12 wins.
And lost nobody. It's not like this is...
Except the first playoff game they played.
Well, yes, they did do that. I'm not saying the Vikings will win any playoff games. I'm just saying the Vikings aren't just rolling over and winning seven games this year.
Let's just be fair, though. It's not like the North is always the toughest division, and the Lions still don't win it. So anytime you're talking about the Lions winning the North is a big deal to Detroit fans.
Yes, and I'm not even here to argue that they shouldn't have the most momentum going into the year. I'm just saying, roster for roster, are we really so sure that they're that much better than Minnesota?
I don't know that they are.
Especially without Williams for six games.
Well, not only that, they decide to let Jamal Williams go, mm-hmm. who had a career year last year, led the league in touchdowns.
And replaced him with a guy that, I always think this is hilarious when this happens, Dal. Everyone in Chicago loved David Montgomery because he was such a soft-spoken, nice guy, hard worker. You know what you get from David Montgomery? You give him the ball, he's going to be hit 1 yard past the line, he's going to break a couple of tackles, and he's going to get 4 yards out of it, and you're going to go, man, he gave us everything he had on that play, huh? Unspectacular, but what a nice, hard-working dude. He goes to the Detroit Lions in free agency because they offer him a bunch of money. Oh, we hate David Montgomery. He's a traitor, and he was never good anyway, and I never liked him. And you know what, Lions fans, he's going to have like 200 yards anyway. He sucks.
Well,
just love this guy a year ago? Let's not pretend.
to me, a big issue with the Lions that's a positive. I've kind of crapped on them with some of these suspensions and departures, but they did trade for TJ Hawkinson midway through the season. Now they've had a whole partial season, half season, and an off season to work him into the offense. I think TJ Hawkinson is going to put up at least Pro Bowl numbers. Whether or not he gets selected to the Pro Bowl, I don't know. But I think he's going to put up over 1,000 yards and be a huge weapon for the Lions, especially now that some of these other guys are going to be gone early on.
TJ Hawkinson plays for the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
They traded away TJ Hawkinson.
Well, what I just said is true for the Vikings.
they did, however, draft Sam Laporta, out of Iowa.
Oh, that's right.
And I was at your draft party, Dal. But this was in round two, I believe. But I was very vocal at work the entire week that the fact that Michael Mayer was still available and the Lions took not Michael Mayer as the second tight end off the board.
You were not impressed.
yeah, not my favorite. However, you know what? They still have Amon-Ra St. Brown. We'll see if Goff can stay what he's at.
They need a secondary. They need someone else to push 1,000 yards mm-hmm. for them to win the division.
I think getting Williams for the second half of the season is going to be important for them, but we're going to see what kind of a hole they might find themselves in the first
I really do, and in fact, I think they're going to be fighting from behind. Mm-hmm. I could still see them potentially winning the division, but they're going to be coming from behind the Vikings. I think the Vikings are the clear favorites.
Obviously, I mentioned it earlier, I will root and hope that the Bears overachieve and are pushing for a playoff spot, because as a Washington fan, as a Bears fan, as a whatever you are fan, football's just more fun when you're fighting for that playoff spot. However, realistically, analytically, who am I thinking is going to be fighting for this division? It's Detroit and Minnesota. They're the favorites until us or Green Bay prove somebody wrong. And right now the question marks for both of those two teams is how our quarterbacks play.
Yeah. One of them's in their second year, and one of them's in his
Detroit,
amazing, their 10th year.
Detroit doesn't have that problem. We know who Jared Goff is. Yeah. Well, we thought we did, and then he had an explosive year last year.
He's never been bad.
No, apart from his rookie year. But
everyone's rookie year sucks. Even Peyton Manning's rookie year, which had positive records, also had negative records. He threw the most interceptions ever.
Yeah, 29 interceptions. Yeah, I mean, they went 3-13.
I'm just saying...
Whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah, he pulled it out. He figured it out. So anyway,
I heard he won a Super Bowl.
I think the Lions, win anywhere from 7 to 10 games, and compete for the division title.
I'll say that I think Detroit is probably earmarked for about 10 wins this year. I think they'd probably be slightly better than they were last year, just because, you know, they probably won't start 1-7 this go round.
Yeah, potentially.
But a big question mark here for them: can Jared Goff repeat what he did last year? That's the biggest thing. They've got pass rushers coming out the wazoo.
Yeah, they do.
They revamped their secondary. Their linebackers are still mid, but you can play football in the modern NFL with a middle of the pack linebacking core.
Yeah, Washington does it every year.
If they give up some rushing yards, then so be it. But they've got a great secondary. It sounds like C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury, but we didn't really discuss.
Is kind of a non-issue.
Yeah, day-to-day, despite the fact he was carted off, it sounds like maybe...
Supposedly at the
time... We had an overprotective mom on the training staff.
At the time, even the people who watched it, they said it looked bad.
And sometimes that happens.
So
the human body can trick you sometimes.
Sounds like he's pretty fortunate.
But yeah, so they're going to have that secondary. They're going to have Aiden Hutchinson. They're going to have James Houston. They're going to have all those defensive linemen rotating through, coming after the quarterback. I'm going to say 10 games, boom or bust, Dal. How are you feeling with Amon-Ra St. Brown as your wide receiver one? PPR leagues, so you get a point per catch. And he dominated that category last year.
Yeah, he had 106 receptions last year. I would not pick him necessarily, but let's say if I was towards the back half of the first round, or the first round selection, and other guys that are similar that I like better are gone, I'd take him.
Okay. So boom for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Gonna repeat. He's gonna have another great point per catch.
Yes.
Jared Goff is gonna pepper him with footballs, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, he should get a few more touchdowns than he got last year. He only had 6.
Well, he is a stature challenged wide receiver.
I don't care.
But he's very quick and he's strong and he's gonna make a lot of underneath catches and get open, and that's what he do. So we're going to move on. We kind of touched on the Vikings earlier, but we'll save them for last because I turned around and I grabbed this jersey first. We got the Favre Packers.
Ooh, I can't believe you're even touching that.
I have very... This is probably the cleanest jersey in my closet.
Yeah, because you never wear it.
The occasions I have to ever actually get it out are so incredibly...
Yeah, Aaron is so incredibly anti... You're even anti-color green,
yeah.
I think, which I actually respect quite a bit. But the Packers, let's be honest, the big story in the offseason, the departure of Aaron Rodgers, the... I'm not going to say ascension of Jordan Love, because he's been there long enough that dude's had in-state tuition for 3 years.
And I did enjoy, on ESPN First Take, saw the clip on Twitter, but that's where the actual clip came from. One of the analysts on the show, they were picking who is going to be the best quarterback in that division this coming year. Which sounds like it should be a Kirk Cousins-Jared Goff argument right. between all four of them. But I believe it was... one of the ex-players, he used to play linebacker, and now I'm blanking on his name. He actually picked Justin Fields. Whatever. Justin Fields' name, for whatever reason, Dal, seems to get clicks. You throw him out there. He gets the social media interactions for whatever reason. We got a Jared Goff. We got a Kirk Cousins. And I don't know if it was just to round out and make sure that everyone got a vote. We got one gentleman saying, well, you know, the last time the Packers sat a quarterback on the bench... for a couple of years, it worked out pretty well. I think Jordan Love is going to come out, and he's going to be the next in line of the Hall of Fame Packer quarterbacks. And I went, have you seen Jordan Love throw a football?
He actually looked pretty good in the one game, in the time that he played. That being said, he didn't look any better than, say, Sam Howell. But Sam Howell was a fifth-round pick in his second year. Jordan Love is a first-round pick in his fourth year, last year anyway.
I watched Jordan Love in each of his preseasons be unimpressive. I watched him play the Kansas City Chiefs and be unimpressive. And I watched Jordan Love at Utah State be entirely unimpressive.
Here's the thing,
and somehow get picked in the first round.
Here's the thing about Jordan Love. Jordan Love got picked in the first round because of Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen was the Mountain West, holy crap, discovery of the year before, and so people looked at Jordan Love the next year. It's like, well, maybe there's another one. He's a big, strong, athletic kid. He's got that prototypical size. Utah State did have some success with him offensively, and so he was kind of viewed as this raw, prototypical size we can mold him into. Anyway, I really do feel like he benefited from Josh Allen turning out to be a home run.
You know what I totally forgot to finish earlier as a thought, by the way? The one non-defensive lineman who went to bat for Justin Fields and gushes over him for 2 minutes in the clip of Fields being... was Josh Allen.
Oh?
Massive Justin Fields fan, evidently. Put him in his top 20. We compare... it's always Hurts and Allen are the guys that Bears fans like to... maybe Josh Allen also feels... he's like, well, that's one of my running quarterback brethren. It's one of my boys.
Or maybe feels like.
I better go. Josh Allen's whole top 10 was, he's like, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton if he gets signed.
all quarterbacks. Huh?
No, I'm making this up.
Oh.
But yeah, Josh Allen, big Justin Fields fan. Here's the thing, though, by the way, very funny, because I remember it fondly. In 2018, when people thought Allen might come out of college 1 year early before he decided to go back.
Scared the crap out of us.
I remember in the 2018, there were mock drafts I was seeing. Already, Mitch Trubisky had only played one season, and I saw a mock draft that had the Bears at number 5 taking Josh Allen from Wyoming until he decided, you know what, actually I'm going back for my senior year or whatever.
Junior year.
And then it was, oh, okay, maybe they'll take Quentin Nelson or Roquan Smith then. I don't know. And, hey, it was Roquan Smith, and he was decent. Wasn't Josh Allen, but what can you do? Anyhow, though, talking about the Packers, Jordan Love did not put up Josh Allen Wyoming numbers, though, when he was at Utah State.
No.
His best year was what? It was 18 touchdowns, 15 interceptions?
He is going to get the shot. And he is in a league where teams are flushing first round picks in 18 months. He is the exception. He is a guy that, for whatever reason, based on the situation, based on the decisions made by the front office, whatever, He's a guy that got to sit in for 4 years and be a backup and learn the system behind a future Hall of Famer, whether you like him or not, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And if he comes out and sucks, if he comes out and he is average or below, he is going to be absolutely crucified because he has been afforded a chance so much better than most first round pick quarterbacks get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually those guys, even if they do sit for a year or two, then they usually get traded or they go somewhere else and then they have to learn another system. He gets to actually play and start for the team that he's been sitting there learning for 4 years. That never happens now. That is such old school. Remember back in the old days, we just had him sit and hold a clipboard for. That is such old school, and we're going to find out if it works.
That we are.
And we're going to know pretty quick.
Also, as we're on this, when's the last time you suppose Green Bay was widely polled on all the preseason predictions to come in fourth place in the NFC North?
Probably the 90s, by pre-Brett Favre.
Well, that was only 2 years of the 90s.
Because people, I'm just saying though, people forget. Heck, Chris Berman's the AD for Wyoming. Chris Berman used to call the Tampa Bay Green Bay matchup when it happened the Bay of Pigs because they were both so awful.
I remember Tom Grassi, the YouTuber, he's a Packer fan, made a comedy bit when the Bears got DJ Moore. And then Aaron Rodgers left, and basically that was consecutive weeks. And he did a skit of trying to cope with it, and him staring off into space and going, "I've been told tales about the 80s. The Bears were so good, and the Packers were so bad. I don't want to go back." He just starts weeping. Very funny.
But, yeah, it's been a while since the Packers have been predicted to be bad. And I don't think they're going to be bad. I mean, let's be honest. They've still got Aaron Jones. They've still got A.J. Dillon. So they should be able to run the ball. Correct?
You would assume.
I'm not convinced who Jordan Love is going to throw the ball to.
Well, everybody that ruins my boomer bust.
Well, go ahead.
If Christian Watson is your wide receiver too, Dal, how comfortable are you feeling?
Not at all.
What about your flex? Would you have Christian Watson on your team? And feel good about it.
As a flex?
Like third best wide receiver on your fantasy team.
Third, I'm not comfortable. Fourth or fifth, yes. So
But Packer fans on Twitter, Dal, are telling me that he's more talented than Randy Moss.
He's only had 600 yards.
Stupid stuff like that.
He had 600 yards in 17 games.
I appreciated a dude trying to tell me that Christian Watson, because he scored all those touchdowns in the second half of the year, had, quote, the most impressive rookie season we've seen since Randy Moss. No. I went, the two records for receiving yards by rookies just happened in 2020 and 2021.
Jamar Chase.
Look me in my eyes and tell me Christian Watson had a better rookie year than Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
No, he didn't. And so I'm going to say bust.
Or even this year, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
I hate Packer fans so much.
So I'm going to say bust.
Bust on Christian Watson.
Especially
nope.
Since he is going to be the man now. Lazard, he's not there anymore.
Alan Lazard.
Not that he was your number one anyway, but he was the number one because Aaron Rodgers liked him. All right, over to the Vikings.
Minnesota and the Chris Carter jersey.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
You know, one thing that keeps being brought up when I watch football every week with my brothers is you watch these wide receivers and some of the amazing catches they make. I mean, even the fourth and fifth and practice squad guys are making just amazing catches. I remember when Chris Carter was like one of two or three guys in the league that made those catches, and that was it. And I remember, again, Chris Berman, all he does is catch touchdowns.
Yep.
and he would make these incredible toe-tapping, and it's like, wow, yeah, there really are only a couple guys. Every receiver can do that now. Skill level is ridiculous.
Chris Carter kind of ushered in a wave of wide receivers really focusing.
Working the sidelines.
On not just the sidelines, but, you know, back in the day, it was more about athleticism. Getting open, being fast, and that was the primary, the Cliff Branches of the world, the John Taylors of the world. That's what teams looked for, and now wide receivers are finally entering the school of, well, you know what? DBs get faster, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't just outrun every... I should probably work on my hands a little bit, huh?
And, but I just, but to me, I always think of Chris Carter, and I think about, yeah, this next era of wide receivers. I'm interested to see. Okay, so you got Justin Jefferson back.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins is going to give you what Kirk. I love how everybody kind of craps on Cousins for his very conservative religious background. So he shows up at training camp. Of course, he drives a conversion van, which is pretty famous. It's not even a new one. It's like a 15-year-old conversion van. And then, but it just shows him, he looks like such a Utah dad walking into training camp today. He's smiling. He's got the, you know, the short haircut. He's got the cargo shorts. He's got the polo. I mean, he just totally looks the part.
The question is, though, Dal, do you like that?
Nice. I like Kirk Cousins. I wish he never would have left Washington, but let's be honest, that was a sinking ship. Now they're going to try and raise it back up. But I like him. I think he takes too much grief for what his postseason resume has ultimately been. And you know what? At the end of his career, that's going to be something that's going to be discussed, whether he gets in the Hall of Fame or not.
I'm going to say probably not.
Probably not at this point. But if he keeps playing and he puts up 80,000 yards, it's not going to matter. If he gets to the Super Bowl or not. They're going to go, wow, 80,000 yards. And I'm just saying he'll get in eventually. But I like Kirk Cousins. He's got Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison, who just got in trouble for going 140 miles an hour for a dog emergency. Duke Dance and myself, we talked about this morning as a kind of a crosstalk. I love animals. I had dogs growing up. That is not an excuse to go 140 miles an hour.
In a 55.
That is.
He wasn't doing that
anywhere.
In an
80. I don't care where you are. Yeah, that's not an excuse. So I'm interested to see what kind of penalty he's going to be handed. It's probably not going to be that big a deal.
I'm guessing he's playing week one.
Because no one was hurt, but that was really stupid. But anyway.
That cop was absolutely a Vikings fan to let him off with a no ticket.
In Wyoming, if I'm remembering correctly, 90 is reckless driving. And we live in the middle of nowhere. I mean, the odds that we're going to hit something is a lot less than where he's at.
If he had hit, like, if there had been, like, a pedestrian, that pedestrian would be soup.
Yeah, they'd be burying it in Tupperware. Anyway, that's a little gross. But he's supposedly going to be a very good wide receiver. We'll see. If so, then you look at the Vikings and go, man, they've got a lot of weapons, but they're going to need them because no more Dalvin Cook.
Now, he's not the same, but to be fair, as a Dalvin Cook fantasy owner, I have often lived and died by what the Vikings are choosing to do this year, and that is the handcuffing of Alexander Mattison to sit nicely on my bench, because when Dalvin Cook leaves, you plug Mattison in, and he always gets you Dalvin Cook numbers for no reason.
Which is probably why they didn't keep Dalvin Cook.
And do I think he'll do that for a whole season rather than a three-game stretch? I don't know.
A Boise State product, by the way, Mattison.
But Alexander Mattison will probably be sufficient. He'll be adequate.
But I think, and then, you know, as I said before, TJ Hawkinson, of course, going to be with the Vikings. I didn't make a mistake earlier.
No, absolutely not.
But I really do believe that after having another offseason, I mean, that's a pretty good pool of talent to draw from. Defensively, the Vikings are fine. I mean, there's nothing.
Apart from the occasional game where they are literally useless.
Yeah, they're a sieve.
I don't know what keeps happening to them, but they will have six-ish games a year where their normally perfectly average defense is legitimately non-existent. It just looks like the other team's throwing on air.
It's going to be, to me, the
And Danielle Hunter has not reported to camp.
Yeah.
As he still has requested
but
a trade.
But to me, the Vikings are still the favorite to win this division, but I think that door's open.
It could easily burst itself open if the Packers, Lions, or Bears overachieve?
I think it's open, and I think the Lions are peeking in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going, hey, this door's open for the first time in a long time. What's in here?
And then a giant lion logo falls from the sky and lands on them, crushing them immediately. Well, and we're not even sure how. All we know is that Lions. So anyway, boom or bust for the Minnesota Vikings. Alexander Mattison is your second running back, Dal. How are you feeling?
I'm not feeling very good.
All right. What would your wide receiver core have to look like for you to be adequate with Alexander Mattison as your running back, too?
I would want, like, Justin Jefferson. and I would want Terry McLaurin and, like, Mike Evans. No, not Mike Evans. Keenan Allen.
Okay.
So, in other words...
So, you went wide receiver in all three first rounds,
he could have a very good... To me, Mattison reminds me of the same situation Benjamin Cook is in with Buffalo, except Buffalo, I think, is a better offense. I guess that's arguable. But
you're talking about James Cook.
Yeah, James Cook. Sorry. But he's going to have this opportunity to be, okay, you can go get 1,200 yards if you hit all these opportunities. Is Mattison going to do that? I don't know.
We're going to find it. Did you see it, by the way, your dreams of getting one of those premier free agent running backs into Buffalo on a cheap deal? One of them you mentioned was Dalvin Cook. You're like, well, maybe he'll show up and help Josh. Well, Dalvin has taken to Twitter to say, I hear what people are saying, and playing with my brother would be fun. However, I don't want to be the obstacle standing in my brother's way of tearing up the league.
Which is exactly what we had said, actually. I think it would be more awkward than anything. So...
I'd appreciate... Dalvin seems to be giving James quite the stamp of... he doesn't want to keep him from tearing up the league, Dal.
As a Bills fan, I hope so. But boom, bust, Mattison, are you saying 1,200 yards or are you saying 1,000 yards?
If he hits 1,000, we'll call that... I mean, he's
if he hits
first
1,000,
year starter.
If he hits 1,000, that's a boom for me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll head over to the AFC North now and gaze upon my lovely
Easy
Bengals
now.
Jersey here, Dal.
Try not to have an accident.
I pulled the Walter Payton jersey out earlier. This has got to be the second favorite one in the collection.
Joe Burrow
right here
is now making... I read something today that Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert's agents are basically having a silent game of chicken.
You're basically,
trying to see who will sign first, because the other person, the other camp... is going to use it as fuel to get more money. And so they're basically saying, don't sign first, because the second guy is going to get more money.
I still think that's hilarious, only because, and it might work, what argument do you have as Justin Herbert's agent if you're trying to say, well, my client deserves more money than Joe Burrow, and the Chargers will say, why? Well,
that's the thing.
One reason, one stat, literally anything. Any single thing that he has right now that would quantify us.
Well, he doesn't. I mean, but he is going to get a crap ton of money.
They're both going to get paid to the extent that it will probably make the average man vomit.
It's just interesting to me, though, that is what's going on. Those agents are kind of engaging in that. They're both in the same situation as far as wanting to secure that long-term contract. I'm with you. Burrow, you have got to put Burrow, and I love Josh Allen. I'm rolling with Josh Allen, number one in the draft.
Who has already gotten it. The Bills have already got it.
Yeah, they locked him up 2 years ago, which is looking smarter and smarter by the day.
Because each time that cap goes up.
But any reasonable, rational NFL fan would have to at least admit the argument or the likelihood that Joe Burrow is number two behind Patrick Mahomes. Now, if you wanted to say bull crap, regardless of accomplishments, I'm going to Josh Allen. I get that. And I'm like that sometimes. But if you want to go on accomplishments along with talent, Patrick Mahomes has been to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them.
And you know what's funny is, from a style standpoint, erase the teams, erase all background information. Normally, I am a guy who enjoys players like Allen and Mahomes more than guys. And Burrow is not like a bad improviser.
No,
Burrow
he's a little more of a throwback, though. He's a little more traditional pocket passer.
It kind of makes the fact that he is a scrambler. I mean, if Joe Burrow ran the Bears offense, Joe Burrow could have 800 yards rushing if he just did a Fields and gave up on his throwing arm. However, it is funny because if it wasn't for the fact that I was, in my own head, the first Joe Burrow supporter because of a bunch of people telling me he sucked after one game at LSU and telling me to quit the hype, it was nothing but pure defiance that made me a Joe Burrow fan. I'm like, oh, well, now it's an argument. So now everything Joe Burrow does counts as a win for me. And that, whatever it is, 3-year-old argument from 2019, or 4 years now, 2019.
But to me, just based on accomplishment, I mean, he's been to the Super Bowl, if not for one questionable call late on Wyoming's own Logan
Wilson.
And one
of the worst jobs blocking. I mean, to be fair, Aaron Donald is not easy to block. But
I'm just saying, though, maybe he's our Super Bowl champion by this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, he has beaten Kansas City in Kansas City, correct?
Twice.
Yeah, that's a short list.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think anybody who's going to be rational.
Would you like to name every quarterback that has beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason?
Well, it's just Joe Burrow, isn't it?
The list goes as follows. Joe Burrow, Tom Brady, the end.
Yeah. For now.
Joe Burrow is the same as Tom Brady. So, confirmed.
To me, the big question with the Bengals is, can they continue to build? Their receiving core is outstanding.
And that's the one thing. That would be the argument you can, and I say that you can, because it's always funny, Dal. I saw ESPN tweeted today, and this is always funny. You mentioned it. Reasonable fans put him wherever. So ESPN said, is Joe Burrow the second best quarterback in the NFL? Discuss. And that was just their tweet for today. And it's just, yes, 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 yes. And then every no you pick out, or the, he's not even in the top 10.
Yeah,
click the guy's profile.
He has 2 followers.
100% of the time, it's a Cleveland Browns or Baltimore Ravens fan. Every time, and I think that's so even Chiefs fans, who are arguably, like, we're getting to the point where we're going Manning Brady with this, where the Colts and Patriots were each other's biggest rival and it wasn't a team in their own division. We might be getting to the point where the Chiefs and Bengals are no longer worried about the Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, or the Steelers, Browns, Ravens. They're worried about each other.
Yeah.
And even Chiefs fans are like, well, yeah, it's Joe Burrow is right after Mahomes. Maybe they'll add, well, he's not Patrick Mahomes. Well, that wasn't the question.
Yeah, that's why he's number 2.
But yeah, it's always fun. It's always a Ravens or Brown fan.
But I mean, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, Hayden Hurst. They did lose Samaje Perine.
They replaced him with last year's second leading rusher in college football.
Whoop-de-doo. No offense to Samaje, who used to play for Washington.
Yeah, I was about to say,
good for him.
We are both Samaje Perine fans.
I am
on
a fan.
This show.
I am a fan. Good for him. He went and got some money.
Mm-hmm.
When he left Washington, I thought his career was over.
Can I also say, by the way, I think it's funny, because now Chiefs fans are saying this about Chris Jones. Because I don't believe that... Now, we as fans can say this because we think it, because we're not in the locker rooms. When you say, well, clearly he doesn't care about rings anymore, he's going after money, I always laugh a little bit, because I promise you, Chris Jones wants a new contract in Kansas City. Samaje Perine left the Bengals to go get some money. People said, well, you know what? Perine, I guess he doesn't care about winning. I said, well, here's the thing. To be a professional athlete, that's not the same as being a regular. Like, that's not the same as me. It's not the same as the kids. You know, we had some kids win state here at the Star Valley High School. It's not the same as even being a really good college athlete. These are the top 0.1% athletes on planet Earth, and every one of them, I could promise you, did not go into this under the impression, it's okay if I don't win anymore. I just want the money. Here's what they think. I can promise you Chris Jones gets traded to the Arizona Cardinals and gets his big payday. There's an ego behind every single professional athlete.
Oh, it's got to be.
He did not do that under the impression he was never going to win football games again. Every NFL player truly thinks of themselves so highly that Samaje Perine went and got paid. He's probably thinking, well, I'll just go win on this new team.
Yeah.
Because I'm really good at football, so we'll win over here. They might not, but that's just to put some perspective in there.
There's
nothing
wrong with going and getting money either. I mean, let's be honest, their career is short.
And the team signing him. You make it sound like if Chris Jones gets traded for money, like the reason the Houston Texans would sign him is because they just really wanted to pay him.
Yeah.
Like, well, clearly they think they can win if they're signing him.
All right, Boomer, bust me because we are running out of time, my friend.
It is really hard with the Bengals because, like you said, all the skill positions, anyone you're taking is fantasy.
Let's just say boom.
Yeah, fantasy football. I don't know. T. Higgins is your wide receiver, too.
Boom.
Okay.
I'd be fine with it.
Moving on. They are a fantasy football factory at the moment.
Yeah, they would be just fine. All right. Next jersey out of the AFC North. Oh, you're going Steelers.
Oh, we got the Jack Lambert here, Dal. How do you how are you feeling about...
I love me some Jack Lambert.
That should also be part of it. I should ask your opinion of each jersey I pull out.
Well, I've been kind of saying that. Jack Lambert is one of my favorite players. When you have more big hit highlights than teeth, you're awesome in my book. I love this the clip of... I can't remember who they're playing. I think it was Dallas. And like their kicker missed a kick and and the guy gets in their kicker's face mocking him and Lambert comes over and just grabs him on his ass.
That was in the Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl 10.
He was defending his kicker. Yeah. And what's funny is like after the game Lambert's like, "Yeah, you suck." But during the game it's like, "Well, you're still my kicker." To me the Steelers, the best thing they have going for them is Mike Tomlin. I think he is an outstanding coach. I mean,
Steeler fans hate him right now.
They're stupid then. And
the
reason why is because they have gone, 50 years without having a coach that sucked? I mean, like legitimately sucked.
They
had, of course, Chuck Knoll. Then they had Bill Cowher. Then they've had Mike Tomlin.
And
that is crazy.
Some of their reasoning is always funny to me. Well, it's just time for a change. I admit he's a good coach, but it's run its course.
Do you know where I've heard that before?
That is not a real thing.
Do you know where I've heard that before? When they broke up the Bulls. Yeah. How did that work out?
It's not a real thing. Coaches don't get burnt out of seeing your uniform. It's not like, well, it'll be if Mike Tomlin, got a change of scenery, he could be good for someone else. But
he's outstanding.
That's
and
not how it works.
People need to remember, Bill Cowher didn't win his Super Bowl for, 10 years?
Tomlin's
already won one.
In this third year.
I think he's the best thing I got going for him.
That and TJ Watt.
Yes, that helps. I think they've got some good talent. I like Najee Harris. As far as their receivers, I think they're wanting a little bit. But they picked up George Pickens, who I think is going to hit 1,000 yards this year. Deontay Johnson led them in receptions and yards last year. To me, the big question is Kenny Pickett the guy?
Well, and Johnson obviously also, how are you feeling about the fact that last year was his career high in drops? Once again, the Jared Goff thing. In your opinion, Dal, are you going to say that means that he's falling off? Or does that mean that last year was an outlier and he should be bouncing back?
I think he's a non-factor. If you ask me boom or bust for Deontay Johnson, I'm going to say bust.
You're not trusting him?
Not with Kenny Pickett.
Well,
that's the thing. It's a combination. If it was him and Aaron Rodgers, I'd say boom. If it was him and Jalen Hurts, but it's not. Well, you're basically saying two guys have to have huge years.
What if Mitch Trubisky wins the starting job?
Well, he didn't last year.
Well, he won it and then unwon it and then won it back and then unwon it. And
I think I like Mitch Trubisky, but.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah,
the end.
To me, I don't know that the Steelers have the answer at quarterback. And in fact, I think they're going to have to decide that this year because there are guys out there worth trading up for in the draft. That's very un-Pittsburgh-like, but I could see them at least considering it.
There are a lot of teams that are going to be a little handcuffed by considering how many really talented quarterbacks are next year, that are looking at their young quarterbacks that maybe haven't are kind of meh one side or the other, and they're looking at them and going, I hate to do this to you, son, but you probably got 1 year to prove it to us.
And I think that's fair. I think Kenny Pickett's going to go into this season as your starter, and then if he struggles or gets hurt, then you've got Trubisky to make sure you don't just absolutely crater.
I have seen analysts already discussing Tennessee taking a quarterback next year if Will Levis doesn't dominate.
Wow.
Will Levis was drafted 8 minutes ago.
And and he was drafted a year after Malik Willis. So, I mean, come on. Like I said, this is why I go back to the Jordan Love thing. If he busts, wow, he is going to be such a meme if he busts in Green Bay. And you're like, Aaron's rubbing his hands together. Please.
No, you know what? Green Bay, no matter how bad he is this year, you owe it to Jordan Love. Give him like 4 more years. Let's let him really...
No. Go back to the Steelers.
Okay.
All right. We're running out of time. Boom or bust me on the Steelers.
George Pickens is your wide receiver too.
Oh, boom. I think he is a stud. And so I think there's a lot of question marks for the Steelers. He's not one of them. I think regardless of quarterback, he hits 1,200 yards this next year.
Fantastic. So we have, remember what a George Pickens hyper I was going into the draft last year? Because I do.
Yeah, you are. You are a huge, in fact, you should probably talk to your wife about it. You were so enamored with him. There might be some trust issues there now.
So we're moving on to the Baltimore Ravens.
Quickly, I have to say how much I hate your jersey.
My Pete Bowlware?
And it has little to do with Peter Bowlware. So maybe this jerk off is still out there listening. Years ago, we did game, and this guy from, he was covering Rock Springs,
mm-hmm.
and he's one of these radio guys that is just really pumped up, like pompous about what he's doing. I am on the radio. One of those guys. I'm like, okay, whatever. Me and my brother are doing our games, and I've been doing it for about 10 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, his last name is Bowlware.
I see.
And he has a Bowlware championship ring that he's wearing. Based on, of course, the Ravens Bowlware. That's a Ravens championship. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, whatever. Anyway, he's kind of grinding on my nerves through the whole game. After the game, he kind of is being rude, like to me and my brother. And so I call him out on it. And I'm like, kiss my butt. And so we almost get into a fight. And
you should have taken his ring.
It really left a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm like, man, what an ass. Anyway, yeah, I still remember this guy because of that name and because he was wearing a Ravens championship ring like a friggin' loser. I hope he hears this.
So we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens
anyway,
then.
I hate the Ravens too, so bring it on.
Remember when it was such a massive story, Dal, that Lamar Jackson, ooh, is he gone? That feels like it was like 8 years ago.
You know what?
It?
What's crazy about this team is they were good without a decent running back, without Lamar Jackson. They still won a lot of games last year.
They made the playoffs.
And it's kind of one of those teams because they win so often, it's almost like people don't talk about them as much as they should.
Poor Cleveland Browns fans.
I mean, you look at this roster. And if J.K. Dobbins is healthy, if Lamar Jackson is healthy,
mm-hmm.
if some of their draft picks pan out, if Mark Andrews is healthy, this is a dynamo of a team because they've obviously got good coaching, even though he's a horse's patoot, because he's a Harbaugh. That's what Harbaughs are. It's some other old world language for horse's patoot. But nobody's talked about it recently. So, like, if you boom or bust me Lamar Jackson, that's what I want. I want you to throw me a boom or bust with Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Give that one, and then I'll give you another one that I come up with.
Okay. But tell me what are your thoughts on Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Are you saying 4,000 yards passing and 30 touchdowns?
No, I'm not going to say 4,000 yards passing, but I will commit to, I think Lamar Jackson finally... I'm going to say 2 games. He misses 2 games, but he's going to mostly be healthy. He's going to hit 3,000 yards passing. He's going to flirt with 1,000 more on the ground. He is going to be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league this year.
See, to me, that's a bust.
When he gets hurt in week four, this is going to look really bad on me. But see, for now, I'm gonna say I put my faith in it's not going to happen 3 years in a row. He's finally going
to
be healthy this year.
See, to me, I think that's a bust. This is a guy that's been the MVP. This is a guy who's put numbers up much better than that. To me, if he doesn't throw at least 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and run for another 700.
He could have the 30 touchdowns.
But I'm just saying, if that's like not his basement, I think that's a bust.
I think, though, that the way Baltimore's offense is constructed, you might call that a bust for Lamar Jackson.
He is too talented to only have 3,000 yards passing.
If Lamar Jackson plays 15 out of 17 games, has 3,200 yards passing.
He had 22 last year, and he barely played.
All right, I'll give him 3,500. If he plays 15 games, he has 3,500 yards passing. He has 900 rushing yards. He has 32 touchdown passes. 9 more on the ground. You say that would be a bust for Lamar Jackson.
I don't know if I'd say bust anymore.
Okay, but you'd say that's not going to wow you. I bet the Ravens still win 11 games with that.
Yeah, oh, easily. Heck, they won 9 without him. I think if he's healthy and back to MVP caliber, I don't know where the Ravens finish. Their receivers got to step up big time.
So you've been pretty high on the New York Jets. You seem confident that they're going to be the biggest obstacle in the Bills' way. You think they're going to be a very good football team with Rodgers. Let me ask you this.
I think they're going to be better over a season than the Dolphins are.
Assuming that the answer is not coming from the West or South, because I don't think any of us think that maybe you're high on the Chargers, but they keep disappointing everyone every year. If Lamar Jackson is healthy, like I said, for 15 or more games, who do you think is the favorite to, if we assume that Buffalo and Cincinnati are the favorites to win the division, this is going to be an odd statement, but the favorite to be the first wild card, the wild card favorite, if you will, Dal, is it the Jets, Dolphins, or Ravens?
I'd probably go with the Jets.
If I said, Dal, we're putting $300 lot in, you have to really be confident.
I think the Ravens are going to finish ahead of the Dolphins.
Okay. So that you think Baltimore is the safest bet to protect your money?
I do not believe at all in the durability of Tua. That's honestly my biggest issue with the Dolphins.
Here's my thing. Even if he's durable and he plays the whole season, he is a fine quarterback.
I still don't know that he's a fine quarterback. I'm still getting...
Well, he is when you have the surrounding talent that they gave him.
He does, obviously. I mean,
once again, like we talk about Kirk and we talk about Jared, Tua doesn't have an explosive arm. He's not, you know, highlight reel insane quarterback, but you know what he can do? He can take the snap and he can throw to the open guy, and they have a lot of open guys in Miami.
Well, Aaron, I'm out of time, so we have one more team.
All right.
So I can't believe you have a Browns jersey. That blows my mind.
I have one from every single team, Dal.
And who is your Browns?
Oh, because he led me to a fantasy football championship Peyton in 2013,
And he's a friggin' bona fide hero. How's that?
Oh, yeah.
Peyton Hillis saved his children from dying this last year.
That's a much better reason to give people in the future than he helped me win a fantasy football.
It's actually good to remind me that there's some good people that have been on the Browns that I like, too, because I am so anti-Brown, which is so against... I used to love
Rephrase.
Yeah, Browns. I used to love...
Anti-Cleveland.
Yes. I used to love the Browns. And then they go pull this Deshaun Watson crap, which I could do a whole half hour just bitching about that. I hate that guy. I don't think he deserves to have any success in the league.
And did you hear his most recent press conference?
No, I don't even pay attention
to him. Where he blamed the media for making him out to be the bad guy?
He is the bad guy. You know what? Even if every single one of the however many people that, what is it, 40? I don't remember the number now.
I thought it was in the high 20s.
Okay, let's say it's 25. Even if every single person of the 25 alleged victims, it was consensual, you're still a creep. Like a really creepy guy who is... utilizing, he's utilizing the sexuality of women for gain. It's creepy, man. I don't like the guy.
And did you see Cleveland's official social media team getting a little bit of some roast yesterday for posting a picture and said QB1 making it look easy? And it was Deshaun Watson very gently walking towards one of the accuracy nets with the three holes for football. I mean, he is not but 5 feet away from it, and he just gently tosses a football into the middle one, and then he just keeps walking. Like, he was walking, to, like, practice was over, and he's just walking back, and he's holding his football, and he goes, whoop, throws it in there and keeps walking. And, like, everyone in the replies was, because that is easy. And my favorite was one dude who is, like, he was just, you know, he's a... he was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so of course he's going to, you know, be on here talking trash at the Browns. But it was at least funny. Bit of an overweight, older-looking gentleman. And I don't know how he got access to it. Maybe he's a football coach or something. But he took a video of himself. He kind of looks at his camera all, like, crooked-eyed, walked up to one of those, you know, the accuracy nets, and he just walks up to it and tosses a football into the center thing, and he turns to the camera and he goes, yay.
Well, it's like don't they have that the college national game, somebody wins $1 million or a scholarship, and they usually do it underhand now, or like they push it off their chest or some stupid throw. You know what I'm talking about, where they have to put the ball
the Dr. Pepper can.
Yeah, the Dr. Pepper thing.
Now they're at least 20 yards away.
Yeah. And those are not professional quarterbacks. Anyway,
look easy.
I don't like Deshaun Watson. I really like Nick Chubb. Holy moly. His off-season videos that have popped up on Twitter where the iron bar holding the weights look more like rubber than iron. The guy is an absolute physical specimen. Who does that?
Nick Chubb.
Yeah. he is an absolute beast of a human being.
And somehow, some way, in one video... Drew Brees that one time in the most astounding thing I've ever seen. When Brees, the video from Saints training, it was like from 2013 or something. Drew Brees doing back squats, and he too had a bent. It was like five plates on each side. And it's Drew Brees. It wasn't like this was, you know, Earl Campbell. That one caught me off guard.
James Harrison.
I'm going, Drew, what are you doing there, buddy? What do you need that for? And then I think at one point my dad and I joked because we laughed at his back squat video when it came out. And then he had one play where he's playing like Atlanta or something, and he QB sneaks from the two and he jumped over the pile and he did the Walter Payton. Like, he went over the top and he stuck the football out and it was all picturesque. And my dad turns to me and he goes, huh, so that's what those back squats were for.
Yeah, I guess so. Browns wise, I think they are going to struggle. They don't have a lot going for them other than Nick Chubb and Amari Cooper. And that being said, even though they have those guys, I hope Deshaun Watson falls into a hole. Now they no longer have Jacoby Brissett. I don't know who their backup is now.
I feel like I knew that a while ago.
But I'm just saying, to me, that just adds to how stupid the front office was. Because Jacoby Brissett seems like a really stand-up guy.
May I just say, though, Dal, does this mean that my planned boomer bust to ask you, would you be able to answer with an entirely clear head, fantasy football relevant, if I said Deshaun Watson?
I won't pick him.
Okay, so there's...
I would not pick him. Even but, if you guarantee... If
but
you,
that's... Is that more hate-related?
Yes.
Okay.
That and... there, but there's also some facts in there. It's been years, literal years now, since that guy has had a big season.
He
might as well be Colin Kaepernick at this point.
The only problem is I don't know of anyone else that's on the fence. We know Amari Cooper will get you low 1,000 yards. We know Nick Chubb will get you 1,500 yards rushing. We know the rest of their receivers are undraftable. Cleveland's defense. They're your defense for the season. Yeah. How do you feel?
And Nick Chubb. I don't and running the ball and controlling the run. I don't know. I will not pick. See, I'm not one of those guys that picks, like, regardless. There's guys I won't pick. There's, like, I never used to pick Dez Bryant. There's people that I just won't. Ezekiel Elliott. I don't care if you guarantee me Ezekiel Elliott's going to get 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. I'm not picking him.
I have had seasons where I've had players I didn't like or on teams I like, but I actually am kind of also in the boat of I want to enjoy fantasy football.
But
almost as much as real football.
But I wouldn't enjoy it if they were on my team. That's my point.
I try to only pick players that I know I can root for during the season. So, like, occasionally I'll have, like, a Viking on my team, and it actually actively takes away some of my enjoyment. Because I'm like, well, I don't want to sit here and cheer for Dalvin Cook. He's playing the Bears. I need us to win. I don't want... They're at the one. Now I'm handcuffed.
Yeah. It's true.
But yeah, I've had seasons, though, where I have done things. Like, you just mentioned it. I once drafted Ezekiel Elliott because he fell to 8 in, like, 2018.
And you felt dirty.
With the sole intention of I traded him for 2 wide receivers. So I'm like, well, it's better than taking some guy I know will suck and is just going to suck on my team. I can at least trade Elliott. So I just took him. Never played a snap for my team that year. So I think instead I ended up with...
I can respect that.
I think I ended up with... Who did I get for him? I got Hopkins and then a much lesser guy. Like, it was like I got Hopkins and...
Crowder.
Yeah, no, it was like Cole Beasley or something.
Oh, all right.
For anyway, Ezekiel Elliott.
I'm out of time. I got to wrap you right there, Aaron. That's our look at the North.
So you can check us out on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. I will be out of town next week, but we should be back at it, wrapping up maybe the West here in 2 weeks on Wednesday.
Okay.
We'll do the West, and then we'll finish off with the South. The Saints. We can talk about the controversy they stirred up by announcing their home opener. They posted their uniform schedule. They are still wearing black pants as their primary. And Saints fans,
you care about this way too much.
I appreciate that the actual Saints fans are with me and that they care too much. And they're all like, why aren't you bringing back the gold pants? We signed a petition, dang it. Give us gold pants. And the Saints just keep going, no.
Stay tuned.
It's so funny to me. Anyway, yeah. See you guys next time.